Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kenneth Murray, Chargers first round pick at 10:30. Kobe Carl of your South Bay Lakers at 11:30. And Mama Momo's in the house for the whole show. Hello, Momo.
What up, George?
I'm good. How are you? How is quarantine week, eight, I think?
It's been a little rougher than it has before. As you know, as like a parent, everything's a stage, right? So like we had the like no nap day yesterday.
Right. That's tough.
Wouldn't go down for the nap all day long. And so like by the end of the night, both Nevin and I were like, whew, okay. Like that was a new one. That was challenging, but I feel like, do you feel like you're getting into a groove now? Like, do you feel like you got it? Like,
oh yeah,
like all the parents at home.
Like, yeah,
you all
I feel good.
Groove down. Yeah.
I was even in charge of kindergarten Zoom yesterday. Okay.
Oh,
I told my wife, hey, you know what? You can go for a walk. Go.
Wow.
You go. I got this.
And you did the kindergarten Zoom, huh?
I did. I handled kindergarten Zoom.
So what is kindergarten Zoom like? Can you paint that picture for us?
There are different kinds of classes depending on the week. Some are smaller classes, like sometimes only like four students at a time, okay. At different times, right? Sometimes it's the larger group of the 20 kids all on Zoom. And you know, when it's the larger group, it's simple stuff, right? It's they're reading a story. They have a worksheet we print along that we print to follow along, and there's some dictation where the kids have to write stuff and figure stuff out. There's some comprehension skills there, and then there's some tracing involved, and it's just like little things like that. When it's the smaller groups, it's obviously more detail oriented, right? Like there's more specific things that they're trying to accomplish there. But yeah, it's been interesting. I'll tell you what, it probably deserves a reality show because it's fascinating to watch.
Like what's going on in the background, which kids pay attention and which kids are just like playing video games. Like I did a college class Zoom yesterday where like, you know, one of our friends in the, are you always getting hit up by friends in the business who like have a college class that they teach? Hey, can you be a guest in my college class? Right. And so you're like the guest teacher, but you don't really teach. You just like talk and tell stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm just like doing your work for you today. That's kind of fun. But I find these things on Zoom to be really fun because you kind of scroll through and see what everyone's doing while you're talking. And like, you know, it's like in class, I always used to think that when I fell asleep in class, like no one could see me.
Right.
And then one day I went and stood where the professor did and saw like, I'm like, dude, you see everything.
Of course
right?
you do. Yeah.
You totally see everything. Like every single person who's sleeping, like if you think you're sly and that we can't see you, like you totally can be seen, right? So the Zoom class is even more than that, right? Like there's actually a picture of you doing
this. Yes.
So there's like one kid in her class she told me about. She said that he's always playing video games like during the class.
That's funny.
And it's like on Zoom. I'm like, bro, we could see you. Like you're just like playing your video game.
yeah. Put down Mario Kart, bro. All right. So Momo, I got a lot of stuff to ask you today, particularly here in this first segment. It's time for Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same network while giving up or while letting you save up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, 2G for $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. Let's start with the Lakers. We had Dave McMiniman on yesterday. And McMiniman told us the story that he broke about the Lakers petitioning Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, to trying to find a way to see if they can get in their facility maybe a little sooner than the March 15th stay-at-home deadline. Do you have any update on that? Like, is there anything that you've heard about kind of the way that those conversations have gone maybe? Because Dave had everything up to that, right? Like, he didn't know how it was necessarily maybe received from all parties involved.
Well, I think the perspective I have on those conversations is that it's not just that it was one conversation, right? It's like not like people have been sitting around you know, for the they've been talking basically since March, right?
Okay.
I think the Lakers have been talking to Barbara Ferrer, who is the LA County public health official who oversees everything. They've been talking to the mayor's office, Gavin Newsom's office, all the public health officials, like, you know, Tim Harris, Rob Pelinka, everybody you would expect to be involved in those kind of conversations have been taking place since before the NBA even shut down, right? So I think that, you know, they have a good rapport already with the people involved in this, which helps actually in making these kinds of arrangements and decisions, because you have a good rapport. It's like, it's not like just a request where it's the first time they've ever met you, right?
Right.
You've already established trust, rapport, et cetera, and you know everything involved. And so I personally think that, you know, there's been a push behind the scenes to get sports to come back in this country, right? Mm-hmm. It's different. You know, I know there was a conference call yesterday with the White House and a lot of representatives from all the different sports, right? And it wasn't necessarily like the White House and commissioners again. It was the White House and guys like Dave Weiss, who's in charge of NBA player health and safety. And, you know, the equivalent of like, you know, that of Dave Weiss for every other team or for every other sport. So there's been behind the scenes, like a lot of protocols and discussions about what government officials will need from sports leagues for everyone to feel comfortable opening back up in some limited fashion. I thought Dave's report was really interesting, George, about like if you have a assistant coach rebounding for you, he's got to wear masks and a glove. Right.
Right.
Like, whoa. Okay. It makes sense, right? Because the ball is the point of contact for everybody. And I think it's an interesting topic because, okay, well, that means you can get some work in, but like that doesn't mean you're closer to playing. Because if people are still wearing gloves every time they're rebounding a ball and like, you know, there could only be four players in the facility at one time, I mean, that's not really getting you closer to playing. That's just saying you can work out here as opposed to, you know, having to buy a hoop and put it up in your backyard. So I think these conversations have been ongoing. I think the report Dave had shows you that it's escalating into the point where it's public now. And it's, you know, I think that's sort of like letting the public know that things are getting closer to, you know, you're sort of priming the wheel there. Right. And now we wait and see where the state of California goes. Like I've been looking at the statistics same as you have, right? Every day.
Yeah.
What they really need to see is they need to see a decrease in the number of new cases. We actually saw increases in the number of deaths, but we saw decreases in the number of new cases the last few days, right? Mm-hmm. So that's actually a good sign, right? Even though it's, you know, it may seem counterintuitive. The people who, the increase in the number of deaths, that usually means those are people who've been infected for a while, right? But if there's less people being infected every single day, that shows the rate of infection going down. So if it keeps heading in that direction, that is a good sign. I don't know that we're weeks away. We still might be a month away. But if we continue heading in the right direction, I think, like I've said, I'm an optimist. I we talked about this before, right? Are you an optimist on this?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
So
I'm with you wholeheartedly. The other number, by the way, that I mentioned yesterday that I've seen a number of the health experts talk about is 500,000 tests per day as a country. And we in a span of about 7 to 10 days, we went from a meager 150,000 tests per day to 300,000, which is a decent jump. And look, we all understand this is slow and it's been a slow rollout and process. But that to me was encouraging because I think that the next jump, if it's as significant, can get us closer to that magic number, which is also something that I think all the health officials and I know, and I had this conversation with Jeff Passan a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
He said that Major League Baseball felt that they could get to that magic number. Now he thought by the end of May, according to his Major League Baseball sources, not him himself, but the baseball people felt that. And maybe that is going to be the case because, you know, we're at 300,000 a day and we're still at the end of April, you know?
Right. And I think I've heard the same thing with baseball, that they feel a little closer. One, that's like the original socially distant sport, right? Like
sure.
Of all the sports, you have probably the least amount of like contact in baseball, whereas in basketball, there's a lot of contact with players and, you know, on each team and close quarters. Baseball, I mean, the guys are spread out all over the diamond, right? And I think that it would be a little easier to do that, although there are more players in baseball. So there's that issue to contend with. But I think baseball, it's outdoors. That helps. Sunlight tends to help, I think. But I think baseball to me, if I was putting a wager on which sport figures out how to restart first, I would say baseball.
I would agree with that. I almost feel like the NBA would prefer it that way.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the NBA would prefer somebody else go first and then see how that goes. Because it was almost like in shutting down, nobody wanted to be the first league that shut down because they knew that as soon as one league shut down, everybody would shut down. So whatever their, it ended up being the tennis tournament was the first one to cancel. You remember that?
Yeah.
The Indian Wells tennis tournament? And I think as soon as they did that, then all of a sudden there was a tremendous pressure on hockey, specifically the San Jose Sharks, because and then there was baseball with the Mariners up in Seattle because they had a certain number of infections up there. So it's almost the reverse. Nobody really wants to be the first one back, but once that happens, it'll open up the doors for everybody else. But the problem is, George, like nobody is settled on exactly the model that we would need to use to come back. And we're almost watching, you know, South Korea and Taiwan and Japan and China, where they've tried to restart things as examples of how to go forward. And that's the whole next phase of this. So the first phase is getting everybody to a place where they're comfortable slightly opening back up. And then the next phase is the logistics of, okay, how exactly do we do this and what level, what are the right protocols in place to keep everyone safe? I think the NBA is on this, though, in the sense that they have employees over in China. They're watching China very carefully. They're tied into all of that. And they'll have best practices all ready to go. It's just a question of, you know, are we going to start back up and then have to stop again four times if one person here or there tests positive again?
Well, actually, I want to get into that because I think with basketball, it could be a little different than any of the other sports. But I want to break early because I want to play a little fact or fiction with you about the stuff that's happening in the NBA right now, because there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things, whether it's media types, coaches, players. So we're going to sort through all of that and we'll play fact or fiction with you. And I do want to get into the specifics of this baseball plan that USA Today laid out, which is three mega divisions. Ooh. That's what you get. You get mega divisions. We'll talk about that coming up. Momo's here hanging out with us. Also, we've got number mania going on today. We got Shaq versus Fernando. You can vote on ESPN Los Angeles. We'll get to that as well. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out today. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Make sure you get Progressive Insurance for your car, home, boat, motorcycle, RV, commercial vehicles. You can call them at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Or hit them up on the website at progressive.com. Maybe you can insure your UFO if you meet an alien. Did you see that, Momo?
Oh, I heard about that. They admitted that there are UFOs, right?
The Navy spotted some UFOs, and they have now officially just put it out there and like, yo, we have no idea what this thing is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never seen that kind of an admission. Like,
yeah,
that's just like, hey, we're going to give all, like, while everybody's quarantined, let's send all of the conspiracy theory people off into the down some rabbit hole to focus on the UFOs rather than the virus, right?
Yeah, 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 I think so, absolutely, because it's one of these deals where right now, you know what? We just need people focusing on other stuff. Anything that they're, you know what? We'll let you know what Area 51 is next. You know, right? Like, I could see them doing a tease.
There's also a way that it intersects, too. Like, what if the UFOs, like, I could see the conspiracy theorists be like, that's where the virus came from. It came from outer space.
Yeah.
Can you see where that could go?
I actually saw a really funny meme. I saw a really funny meme. I'll have to find it. If I can find it again, I will tweet it. But it was basically a really basic drawing of aliens as like stick figure types, right? But they were green. Uh-huh. And it just said, what are you doing? And the one alien sitting on the couch like, man, I'm watching the latest season of Earth. That thing's getting crazy down there.
That's good. I like that. I mean, every once in a while I see these like photos of like California where like no one's around and it's like except for like one person drives by on their bike with a mask on. And I'm like, I feel like this is like, this was like all those movies that we used to watch, right? Like, this is like, you know, all the post-apocalyptic movies, like these scenes are like straight out of the movies right now, and we're just sort of living in it. So what are the movies going to look like then? Like now,
oh my
that
God,
the,
yeah.
now that the apocalyptic future in the movies is actually reality, what do the movies then take it to? I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned that, right? So I'm not trying to get political. I don't want anyone to say that. This is a direct quote. So Bill Simmons, about a year ago, had an interview with Julia Louis-Dreyfus on his podcast.
Okay.
And she talked about how she was talking about her, you know, when she was recovering from breast cancer. And she said that it was almost like the perfect time for that to happen, as ridiculous as that sounded, okay. She said, because it allowed them to pause the show because they were writing stuff that was clearly ridiculous the first several seasons. But she said that things had gotten so strange in Washington and in the White House with President Trump coming in and all the different changes that were going on there, that they had to step up their game on how they were writing the show. So to your point that, yes, that is possible, that it can ramp up creativity to an even further or to a different level.
You have to, like, take it even further, you know, like if you have parents who are super like chill and they let you do whatever, they're not shocked by anything. How do you rebel against that? You know,
right.
Like, how do you do something that shocks your parents and rebel against them if they're like really tolerant of everything? They're like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can stay up late. You can do whatever. You can, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What were you going to ask me about Steve Kerr? He was.
All right. So, no. I want to put
a call yesterday.
Yeah. I want to play a little fact or fiction with you. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. We got a little music. Go ahead, Laura. Play some music for me. Got to jazz it up a little bit, you know? All right. A little fact or fiction bed. All right. So, I'm going to let you hear what Steve Kerr said on some Twitter stream interview he did. Who knows? Everybody's talking to everybody right now.
He's doing Last Dance stuff. You know,
right. So like he was asked about his team and what the possibilities are of a return. And here's what Steve Kerr said. Go ahead.
It feels like the end of the season for our team. It just does. And we don't know anything officially. There's still a chance the league could ask us to come back and play some games. But given what we went through this season with all the injuries and the tough record, it's been more of the case of, you know, we're staying in touch with guys, but everybody is just sort of assuming that, you know, this is kind of it. We're not going to be involved much anymore.
Okay, so fact or fiction, Momo. Steve Kerr may have spilled the beans that if we come back with the NBA, that it may just be the playoff teams. Fact or fiction?
I think that's a fact. I don't think he, quote unquote, spilled the beans. Like, in other words, like, I don't think anybody said, hey, look, here's what the plan is. You guys aren't playing. I just think that that possibility has been raised. And also he understands the realistic scenario, which is there's not much argument for bringing back all the clearly non-playoff teams and just like playing out the regular season just to play it out. There's a much better argument for let's have a play-in tournament, 7 through 10 for the last couple of spots. The rest of the order's already set, and then we just get on to the playoffs. Because like, what's the argument for fulfilling the rest of the regular season just to get all the games on the local TV contracts done? Is that what it is? Like, that would be the only.
That would be possibly it.
Yeah, I mean, and how much have people lost? But there's also a whatever you make back on your local TV contracts, you're kind of losing by staging games with no fans, so you get no gate. So you have to pay everybody stuff, but you know they're to play to do stuff, but then you don't get any gate revenue from fans being there. So I think it kind of offsets, and I think most non-playoff teams would just say, "Yeah, let's not bother. Let's move on."
Listen, they've been messing with a tournament forever now. It seems like they've been trying to talk about it. So might as well do it now because you're going to probably have to play in one place or at least in regions, right? I think that makes some sense. So if you do a tournament, you'll have to kind of gather those teams in one specific place. All right. So the next one we have is from our buddy Stephen A. Smith. Okay. Oh. So Stephen A. said this on First Take about the NBA and their potential of finishing the season. We'll play Fact or Fiction with Stephen A. Let me hear Stephen A.
I believe the NBA playoffs will begin in the first or second week of July at the latest, possibly earlier, possibly the very first week of July. I think that's what this is all about. I think that they're hell-bent on making sure that they finish this season. It doesn't have to be an end to the regular season. People that I've spoken to in the league, they say that everything's been discussed in terms of descending upon Las Vegas, renting out several hotels. There's four different arenas you could use, et cetera, et cetera. They talked about all of these things. They've talked about a playing tournament for the last couple of seeds in East Conference.
Fact or fiction, the NBA is, quote, hell-bent on finishing the season.
I'll say fact. I mean, I don't know if I'll use the word hell-bent, okay? But,
well, that's just Stephen A. doing Stephen A. things.
Yeah, all right, but I'll go with it. I think they really want to finish the season. Like, there's two things at play here. One is nobody wants to have a season where you just call off all the games and, like, there's no champion and this is, like, the asterisk year, right? Nobody wants that. And two, everybody has this recognition that we're not going to be done with this issue in the fall. So if you could say, all right, we're going to eradicate coronavirus, it's going to be gone, and we don't have to worry about it ever again by July, then people would say, yeah, maybe we should just scrap the season. I think that'd be a better case, right? But you can't say that. It's most likely just the way – even all the disease experts say it's probably going to come back in the fall just like flu season, right? At the same time as flu season. And so like the idea that next year can just go off with it without a hitch – that's false too, you know? And I think there's this recognition that, like, you know, it'd be nice to think that you could just move into next year and have everybody have a reset, like, start on time, whatever. That's probably not going to happen. So if that's not going to happen, let's finish this year at least and get this year in the books, because maybe next year even gets delayed beyond Christmas, New Year's, whatever it is, depending on how things are looking in the world with how we're treating the virus.
Okay, I got one about next year. I have my own conspiracy theory, so we'll play Fact or Fiction with gas bag known as George Sedano. My conspiracy theory is that the NBA doesn't care how long this season takes to finish, because to your point, they would start, you know, December, January, whatever they would need to do to start next season, because pushing next season back as far as possible also gives them at least a glimmer of hope of potentially putting fans in the seats, whether that's socially distant or just and it may not be a capacity of 20,000 like it is normally, but it gives them at least a glimmer of hope of putting fans in the seats for the 21 season. Fact or fiction?
I'll go with you there. I'll go fact on that. I think that's
okay.
That's a really good point that you make there. I haven't thought about it like that. You know, I don't think we're going to have fans in seats until we have a vaccine. But if you're pushing it back to where, let's say, next year doesn't start until January, and I don't know how that would even happen too, because it's the middle of flu season, but okay, we'll just throw that out there. They say a vaccine, what, 12, 18 months away? So 12 months.
Right. But you're still going to play, You're still going to play six months or so, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
I'm not saying fans. I'm not saying fans out of the gate. I'm saying fans at some point. A glimmer of hope for fans at some point.
Your timeline does fit that. If you have the 6 month season and it doesn't start till like January, February or something, then that does, by the end of that 6 months, you could have some fans. Yeah.
So there you go. There we go. Okay. Fact or fiction is complete. Coming up next, you and I are going to talk to one of – now, the Chargers drafted two guys in the first round. They traded up – or they drafted Justin Herbert, as we know. And then they traded up to take a linebacker, Kenneth Murray, who was one of the best linebackers in the draft, which is why they traded up for him. And he's going to join us next from Oklahoma. So we'll talk a little bit with Kenneth about his draft process. And I mean, I would imagine all these kids had to have gone through such strange scenarios this season just trying to get drafted. Like, all the stuff must have been just weird to deal with. So we can ask him about all that stuff and just whatever conversations he's had and just kind of what he's been up to. So we'll talk to Kenneth Murray, newest member of the Chargers, in a second. Chargers first round pick Kenneth Murray will join us next. Then we'll get into the mega divisions in baseball after that. Momo hanging out. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out. All presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests, like Kenneth Murray, who will be joining us in a few minutes. Chargers first-round pick, linebacker out of Oklahoma, will join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And this segment brought to us by two of our friends, including My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life, and the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. They can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you with whole grain oats and real delicious honey. It's really tasty, too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. So, Momo, let me ask you this. Because before we get into Kenneth Murray, there's obviously a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Ooh.
And the Jordan Love drafting. And then there was the story that came out yesterday about Matt LaFleur, who was once the Rams offensive coordinator, right? He was an assistant for Sean McVay. He was with Sean in Washington, too, where Matt LaFleur is feeling himself, right? According to the story, now he's not what he said publicly after the draft. He talked about Aaron in glowing terms. But privately, it has been reported that him and the organization are basically in not so uncertain terms, basically telling Aaron, hey, you play, we coach and build the team and just deal with it. Now, in basketball, that doesn't fly. In football, one would think it doesn't fly because historically it hasn't. But I feel like Aaron is also a bit of a different dude that way.
Yeah, I think that situation is fascinating, right? Because one, you look back at Aaron's own career where they draft Aaron at a time when Brett Favre's still hanging on, right? And he sits for a year and, you know, remember how Aaron fell through the draft, right? In the first round, he's sitting in the green room and then finally the Packers take him at the end of the first round. And it's like literally the same age as Brett Favre was. And then how did that end up? Brett Favre ends up finishing his career in Minnesota, right? Like, it's like amazing how history kind of repeats itself. And it's kind of cruel in this way, just because, you know, Aaron is a Hall of Fame quarterback and wants to play till he's 40, same way probably Brett does. And it's like, you know, I don't want to point out the karmic nature of this, but that's kind of how this goes sometimes. George, if I was betting on this, I don't think Aaron finishes his career in Green Bay. I think he ends up getting traded somewhere or asking to be traded within a year or two. Like he sits, he plays this year in Green Bay. Jordan Love learns from him. If Jordan Love is good, and by the way, we have no assurances that Jordan Love is going to be worthy of this pick or that he's going to be the same kind of player that Aaron Rodgers was that they found there. Okay. Just cause the storyline matches up doesn't mean the talent does, but you know, I just think that the tone the organization is taking is basically to just kneecap Aaron Rodgers, right? Like
It feels like it's they're trying to take control of the team. Yep. It's certainly a strange scenario. We'll continue that discussion in a bit. Let's talk to a young man who just had one of the biggest moments of his life already. Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma, first round pick for the LA Chargers. They traded up to get him. Kenneth, thanks for taking the time. Congratulations. Tell me about this process, though. Like, how strange was the process for you, considering what we're dealing with in the world right now?
It's obviously a unique situation. So, it's been definitely a unique process so far, but definitely, you know, making the most of it and definitely trying to go out there and, you know, put my best foot forward.
Hey, when you were sitting there watching the draft and the Chargers, they obviously traded to go get you. They liked you and they wanted they made a trade to make sure they could land you. Did you have a sense that they were interested in you like that? Did they talk to you in the pre-draft process or did your agent know?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, it completely caught me by surprise. I talked to them at the combine and they were one of my former meetings, so obviously I knew it was some type of interest there, and you know, felt like we connected really well at the meeting, and then that really was it, to be honest. Going throughout the recent weeks leading up to the draft, I seen them at my pro day before pretty much everything got shut down. I seen one of their scouts, and he just asked me if I was healthy because I had a little hamstring hiccup at the combine. And after that, they called me probably about a week later, seeing if I was going to do any type of workout virtually. But, literally, other than those two conversations after the meeting at the combine, we had spoken. So, you know, it really kind of caught me by surprise because I was sitting there on the couch and, you know, I get the call and, you know, it was an area code from Indianapolis. So I was confused and I just answered it. And, you know, then, you know, just to hear the Chargers GM, you know, said they were going to draft me with the next pick and they were trading with New England was just, you know, just after that, just the emotions took over.
Oh, that's funny. That's right, because he worked for the Colts and he worked for the Bills, actually, before that, too. So that's what happens, you know, Ken. It's, these guys, they work in different places and they don't change their cell phone number. So I can see where that catches you off guard. Who was with you during the draft process while you were waiting?
On draft night, I had my parents, my girlfriend, and my sister, and my longtime trainer, Tim Boutte. And, you know, we just all were there just taking it all in. You know, finally got the call, and, you know, that's when, you know, the celebration began.
So I read somewhere that you actually practiced what your reaction was going to be when you were drafted.
it's pretty out there that, you know, being a first-round pick was something that, you know, I had dreamed of for a long time. You know, goal that I wrote down and said I was going to do in high school, something that I tweeted out in high school. And, you know, I actually, you know, would act it out, you know, with my family and, you know, with my girlfriend in college. I would always tell her, you know, when I get the chance to walk off stage, this is what it's going to look like. And, you know, it was just definitely just a surreal moment to be able to get the call and be a first-round pick.
So how did you do?
Yeah, where would you practice this? Like at your house or up on a stage? How realistic?
Yeah,
was
I mean, majority of the time it would just be at the house.
Okay,
you know, in college it would be like in my little small dorm room. To be honest, you know, it would be so funny. She would be cracking up at me because I didn't know being like this little small dorm room, walking around acting like I was walking across the stage. So definitely a huge dream of mine. Definitely, you know, I'm blessed to be able to accomplish it.
Kenneth Murray, newest member of the Chargers, first round pick. They traded up to get him out of Oklahoma. How did you do though? Like, you know, you were practicing all these years to do it. How did the finished product end up compared to how you practiced it?
I can't even compare it, to be honest. I went into the situation knowing that I didn't have any idea of what it would feel like to actually be drafted in the first round. And, you know, I think that statement just holds true, you know, just to, you know, get the call, you know, during that time. And I'm not really a nervous person. You know, I really don't get nervous about pretty much anything. And I just remember just going through the night, you know, I was like the first time I ever was just sitting down and I was actually like sweating and like, I was just so anxious, just ready to get the call, and finally it came. So, you know, it definitely was a wild night.
So you're known for a lot of different things: athleticism and preparation, studying, everything. What do you think you'll be known for with the Chargers when you finally get out on the field here?
I mean, a dominant force in the middle. You know, a guy in the middle that just brings. That has just a presence about him. But, you know, you just feel the passion, feel the love of the game through him. And I think that's exactly what you're going to see when I get on the field. You know, what you said before, you know, I'm a guy that's all about preparation, you know, and all about just the love of the game. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, when you see me on the field out there for LA Chargers, you just don't know. It's a presence there in the middle.
23rd pick in the first round. Chargers trading up to get him. Kenneth Murray joining us here on the Sedano Show. George Sedano, Ramona Shelburne with you here on ESPN 710 here in LA. So I want to get back to the draft thing one more thing. Clearly your teammate, very famously, became an internet meme, CeeDee Lamb. did you give him any grief? You send him a text? You have some fun at his expense or no?
Oh, man, I've seen it. You know what I mean? I think it's pretty crazy. Actually, you know, it really blew up the way that it blew up. It just seemed like such an innocent situation. But, you know, we definitely talked, you know, after the draft, and I just sent each other some congratulations. I know from me and him, you know, this was something that we both said we wanted to do, be 3-and-out players, and be first-round picks, and to be able to accomplish it. Like I said, it's a huge blessing, so. You know, just happy that we both were able to achieve that dream.
So we're all excited about the new stadium that's going to be opening up this year. The new uniforms both teams are taking into the stadium. How you feel about those Chargers uniforms? There's a lot of people feel about those might be some of the best in the NFL now.
Nah, yeah, they're dope. You know, I was looking at them the other day, and they, for sure, I definitely see myself looking real, real good in them. So I can't wait to put on those colors and just go out there and make plays.
Kenneth, how does it feel, though, for you? Like, just, I mean, Oklahoma obviously is one of the premier programs in the country anyway. But the fact that you are so good at what you do, but how much does it help to have prepared against the last couple of seasons against professional quarterbacks, guys who you practice with each and every day, whether it's Jalen now going to the Eagles, Kyler, Baker, all these guys that you were able to practice with that played that position in the NFL or will play that position in the NFL? How much of a benefit was that?
You know, I think that's just a huge benefit. You know, they're saying that, you know, iron sharpens iron is just so true, especially when it comes to, you know, playing at a place like Oklahoma. There's just so many great players here. You know, every year it's going to be always somebody coming up, or it's going to be always, you know, some good players that are there. So, I mean, it just makes the game so much more fun, and it just makes practice where you truly do get better, because it's just such a great competition. So, you know, I definitely say I wouldn't be the player that I am today without each one of those guys. You know, our battles that we had back and forth in practice, you know, we definitely, you know, go back and forth and battle in practice.
So, you know, I read that you grew up in sort of a different type of family than other people. How has that shaped you? How's the family that you grew up in? You have two biological brothers and sisters, and then three adopted brothers and sisters, right? How's that changed you, and how's it affected you?
Well, I mean, I think it's just truly just taught me how to be selfless, to be honest, you know. And I think what it really, you know, the biggest lesson that I learned from that is just, you know, what true gratitude is, what it's like to truly be, you know, truly, truly grateful for something. You know, for me, you know, it's something that I see every day. You know, being home is, you know, my baby brothers who can't walk and can't talk. And, you know, it's a different point of view, because I was able to see, them go through different stages of their lives. And, you know, see them, you know, go from, you know, not being able to walk to walking, and then, you know, some type of event medically comes about, and now they're not able to walk again. And, you know, just seeing, you know, growing up, me working and me playing sports, and seeing, you know, the type of enthusiasm and type of joy that I put on their face, and to see them not being able to partake because of their situation, it just makes you just truly grateful for just the small things in life, you know, just being able to walk. Being able to talk, you know, just being able to, you know, simply tell my mom and dad I feel sick, something like that, that, you know, some people, you know, my brothers and sisters don't have the liberty to do. It's just, you know, just truly being grateful for everything.
Kenneth Murray, 23rd pick overall in the draft, first rounder of your LA Chargers. Kenneth, thank you so much for the time. We're looking forward to talking to you more often, and hope you are safe and healthy, and you and yours are safe and healthy, and we'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care. There he is, Kenneth Murray with us here. What a great kid.
Dude, that guy's awesome.
What a great kid.
Yeah.
I'm super, super excited for him. So, all right, Momo, coming up next, it's time for Mega Division Talk. Major League Baseball has a plan, and it includes Mega Divisions. Mega Divisions in 3 minutes.
Clinton Kershaw. I enjoyed that voice.
Thanks to Kenneth Murray of the Chargers for joining us there. What a great kid. Mama Momo hanging out today. If you missed that interview or any of our interviews all week long, or any day, really, you can go back on the Interview on Demand section in the Sedano Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate of 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. And of course, we want to talk about this a little later with Momo. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Television, 6 Pacific. I did Iran Burgundy and read just the promo directly without thinking about it. 6 Pacific on ESPN television, and listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cinco Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. So before we get into mega divisions in Major League Baseball, it's time to make fun of Greg, because let's face it, we haven't made fun of Greg in 47 minutes yet today. So I just want to let you know that he's already signed. The shows, Greg communicates with us via text, because clearly we're not in the studio. So he doesn't have like the talk back button that he would normally have or whatever. Only Laura has that ability because she's in studio. So we went a little long with Kenneth Murray in that segment. That's the shorter segment. We went long with him there. And we're talking. I go to break, right? I tease mega divisions with my monster truck voice. Momo also then throws in her monster truck voice. Clearly, we go to break on that because Laura says clear. That's kind of the sign, just letting you behind the curtain. That's what she tells us. We're off the air. And all of a sudden, Momo and I are talking about what a great kid Kenneth Murray is, right? Like, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, about 90 seconds into us being into the break, we get a text that says, rap. And I said, Greg, why am I getting a text right now that says rap from you? And Ramona's like, yeah, me too. And you're like, yeah, because we need to rap. And you're like, and we're like, dude, we've been in break for like over a minute.
Well, you know, the best part of that is that if he could have like just gotten out of it and be like, oh, yeah, that must have just gone through.
You right? gave like, him the out because you asked him that.
I'm like, oh, why didn't you send that? Did you send that during the interview? Were we taking too long? And rather than you just saying, oh, yeah, that must have just been a slow text message. You were like, yeah, because I'm telling you to rap. I'm like, we're in the break. Are you telling you to rap in the break?
So from my perspective, just so that we're all clear on everything here, is that you guys did that. You did your mega thing, and then Momo did that. And then there was a pause, and then you guys started talking again. I never got in my ear clear. So
you did.
I thought we were still Laura, you didn't hit it. It's fine.
Laura, but tell the audience what you did when Momo was when I was doing the crazy
she normally
voice.
Does.
No, wait. We all heard her except you.
Right, because you didn't click my button.
I did. So they were doing their mega, and I wanted to let Momo go because I thought it was funny that she followed George.
Kershaw!
And then,
right.
And then I did clear, and clear was, you were my last clear because you're on the other side of the board. And then, you know, so I thought we were all on the same page as far as, because they're going on about their interview and I get a rap and I'm like, why is he telling them to rap when we've rapped? So you
right,
clearly
that's
weren't paying attention. That's not my problem.
Laura, first of all, look, you didn't hit the button for me. And when you guys kept talking about how great of a kid he was, it sounded like he was still part of what, like just talking about what was just happening on the show after a short pause.
And I have to do the clear really quick for you because you've told me you don't like when I'm in your ear. So when I say clear, my clear.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Oh. Whoa. All right. We're like, seriously, Laura, when you do that on the air, I don't like when you're in my ear on the air. And when you're, and it's when you're actually like talking to me, when you're actually like, oh, hey, George is having some issues with his Comrex and blah, blah, blah. Then I say, please don't do that.
You sound heated, Greg. Well,
I'm starting to get a little heated because this is garbage.
Can I hit it, George?
Go ahead.
No, Laura. We're gonna have a serious discussion after this show, by the way, Laura.
Go ahead. Laura, I am the boss on this show. You go hit it.
Okay, here's another one.
Birdman, you're gonna have to take that L, bro.
Gotta take that L, bro.
Greg, take the L.
Hey, Greg, you know, I think sometimes things are just better with our version of the story. So even if you have a version of the story, even if your version is true, what if she thinks she hit it and didn't quite hit it? Even if that's true, okay, but it's funnier this way.
So this is my way of rolling with it. Yeah, it's okay. Fine.
Yeah, yeah. He's just. Like, and by the
we're
way,
we're gonna talk after the show.
Twitter just.
I'm not gonna actually have a conversation.
Twitter just reminded me of another L that Greg took yesterday. We asked the question: is Batman a superhero on hashtag National Superhero Day? 5,107 votes. 74% said yes.
Okay.
So. Sorry,
and
Greg.
What did Greg say?
He said absolutely not, because he doesn't have superpowers.
He doesn't have superpowers.
Doesn't he have powers?
No, he doesn't.
He's got gadgets.
Oh, he's got gadgets, yeah. He's got the suit, yeah.
But he's still a superhero, because he does superhero things. Normal people can't do what he does.
He could be one of the greatest heroes of all of comic book world. He's still not a superhero.
I mean, 5,000 votes is not a small sample size, Greg, so take the L.
It's 5,000 votes. Not every vote went there.
No, but 74% of them did. Yes. That would be a landslide.
Sunday.
All right. You know what? We didn't get to that, but we will. I swear it's the third time I've teased it.
I know.
But for real this time, okay? Kind of like the Sedano show now, this version, as Momo said. For real this time, okay? For real this time. Mega, mega, mega divisions in Major League Baseball. We'll do that, I swear to God, in 3 minutes. Next.